Yud Ches Adar Sheni, Thursday the 24th of March, Rabbi Harvey Belovsky, Spiritual and Physical Health, Kashrus and the Four Simonim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Perek Yud Al Vayikra is the first occurrence of two of the dinim of Kashrus. Parsha begins by Rabbi Hashem El Moshe Aaron Leimoy Alehem Dabru El Bnei Yisrael Leimoy. It begins Zois Hachayo Asher Toicholu Mikol Avehemo Asher LaOret. These are the animals that you may eat for all the beasts that are upon the world. And it goes on to explain the simonim of mammals, the split hoof. The animal has to be a ruminant. A ruminant to choose the cud. And then it mentions four animals, each of which only has one simon, and therefore they don't qualify. Now, although the psukim indicate there's an inyan of kedusha, that they are Tomei, there has been a machlokes since earliest times as to what the purpose of these dinim really are. There's all kinds of speculation. The Torah does not really provide a very clear or explicit discussion. Most famously, the Rambam probably got himself into some trouble by saying in the third section of the Moreh Nevuchim that the purpose of kashrus is physical health. Now, whether he said this because he was writing for a certain audience remains a matter of speculation. But it's true that he does say in Perek Mem Ches of the third section, it's near the end of the Moreh Nevuchim, and in one or two other places, that these animals are unwholesome. Somehow or other, they make you physically ill. And he even goes as far as saying that with the exception of eating chazer and chelev, everyone agrees these things are unhealthy. And then he goes on to explain what's wrong with pork. It's too moist, has too much liquid in it, and as a result, it makes you ill. He says chelev is bad for your digestion, so he tries to justify the two that are considered to be contentious. But it does seem, at least according to his understanding of the Moreh Nevuchim, that for the Rambam, the primary purpose of kashrus is maintaining physical health. Now, there are numerous difficulties with this. Not least, that there are lots of healthy goyim who live to an old age, eating the diet that he described as unhealthy. And, Rachman Litzlan, there are plenty of healthy Jews eating this diet and living to an old age that the Rambam describes as unhealthy. And that's not a new question. The Abarbanel and even other earlier Rishonim asked this question as a very, very straightforward kasha against the Rambam. There's a midrash in our parsha. Omrebi Tonchum Bar Chaniloi. Moshe L'Roifesh Nichnus Levakesh Nechoylem. It's compared in a parable to a doctor who goes to visit two patients. Erchud L'Chaim V'Erchud L'Misa. The nafka minute between the two is that one is recovering, there's hope, and the other one is terminally ill. The one who is getting better, who has a hope of recovery, the doctor says, gives him a diet. You must eat this, you mustn't eat that. And the one who has no hope, that he says, give him whatever he wants. Give him that whatever he wants. That's the moshel. Here's the nimshel. Kach oyvdei kechovim. So too, the idolaters, the goyim she'einam l'chaya olam haba, who are not destined for chaya olam haba, for a spiritual afterlife. Ksiv bohem, it writes about them in Parshas Noach. Ger esiv nosati lachem es koil. Just like the grasses, I've given you everything. You can eat whatever you like. There are no restrictions. Perhaps with the sole restriction of Avim and Achai, you can eat whatever you like. Aval Yisrael Shem L'Chayel Mabo. But for Yisrael, who are destined for Chayel Mabo, There's a set of rules. Zois Sabahemar, and it quotes the Pasuk. Zois Sabahemar Asher. This is the animal you may eat. So it's very interesting. The Midrash itself seems to indicate, it uses a physical moshul of food, but it doesn't suggest, really, that the purpose is primarily physical health. It's saying that there's a diet being prescribed which will enable you to achieve your spiritual afterlife. It doesn't say they're going to live in this world. It says they're going to live in the next world, which seems, as far as I can see, it seems to be pretty explicit in this Midrash that the purpose of kashrus, as understood by Chazal, is for a spiritual objective, one that is not shared by the non-Jews. And as such, this is an objective for us and not for them. And so one struggles to understand the Rambam. What is the nature of this spiritual value that is achieved through eating a selective diet? So those who say that it has a very obvious value in that it is separational, it means that it keeps people apart. If one observes the kashrus dinim strictly, it is very much more difficult to integrate and assimilate, etc., etc. But it seems that that's a very pragmatic consideration. What pragmatic means? Okay, it's a pragmatic consideration. And it's... Touché. Right? And the... So, it seems that there is a more, if you like, positive rather than negative spiritual value. So let's explore. Let's spend the first 10 minutes or so looking at different approaches. As I said, the Abarbanel, who interestingly normally bats for the Rambam, and the Rambam offers a very rationalistic understanding of something or other, then the Abarbanel usually comes to his defence when the other is shown him attacking. But in this, he's very unhappy with the Rambam's claim that the purpose of kashrus is purely for physical health reasons, and it seems very likely, by looking around in other places, and the Rambam says that the Rambam is giving an additional understanding. It is very, very difficult to suggest that the Rambam has completely ignored all the references to Kedusha, separation, Havdalah, Tumah, and so on in the Torah, and the Midrashim. The Rambam is giving a rationalistic explanation, which perhaps a certain type of person can understand, in addition to the spiritual value that he must ascribe to observing the laws of Kashrus. But the difficulty with the Rambam is that it makes it very limited. What will be if one determines that in fact it's not bad for you, this diet? Well, then the Rambam's view is in trouble. And that is common, has in common with many of his approaches that appear in the Moreh Nevuchim, appears to be associated with ancient idolatry, all kinds of things which appear to be rather limited, and it seems unlikely the Rambam believed these to be the sole explanation, perhaps part of an explanation which is relevant within the context of the objectives of the Moreh Nevuchim. Anyway, there's a Midrash. The Midrash takes the four animals, that only have one of the simonim. Es HaGomol, the camel. I'm not going to go into all the psukim because it will take too long, but the Midrash in the same parsha as the one I just read, the Gomol is Bovel. This is Bovel. And he explains, Shofon is Modai. And you can see where this is going. The four animals represent the Arbogolius. It continues, the Arneves is Yovon, and explains why. And finally, Chazir is Esav, Edom, and so on. Or in this version, it says it's Pros. And explains why there are three in one pasuk and four in a different pasuk. But here the Midrash is giving you an interesting idea, somehow or other. And one needs to look in the kind of Hashkofa. What does it mean, Arbogolius? It doesn't mean that a camel somehow reminds you of Bob explicitly. What it seems to be telling us is that each of these represent key bad attributes. That if you look from a sort of conceptual perspective, the idea that the Klal Yisrael will go through various phases in history to refine us, to challenge certain aspects, is because these have bad middos. Each of these nations challenge us in some core way, perhaps areas in which we are susceptible, vulnerable. in areas that we need improvement, and the historical process of Kodesh Baruch Hu arranges that we will be challenged by these places in order to develop attributes. So that's the sort of thing that we will do with a midrash like this, that these four animals, if you understood them properly, represent in the same way at a kind of historical level the Arba Goliaths represent challenge to the development of Klal Yisrael, so we come out at the end of time having refined ourselves in all the middos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us to develop. Similarly, Atta, if you like, in a microcosmic way, the kashrut of avoiding certain sorts of foods enable us to avoid the internalization of certain attributes. That's, I think, how I would want to read that midrash.
The
final goddess, which is still Edom, but it may have some Ishmael kind of tinges. That's a shir in itself. The final one of these four, which is a result of the Roman destruction. That's why it's associated with Edom, because it comes as a result of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash by the Romans, which has the phase which is still continuing. Okay, that's an interesting question. So the answer would be, if you see it, Chazir, the Chazir has the external simon of Kashrus, what's called Chazafisal. It shows you its external simon of Kashrus, but internally it isn't kosher. It says, look at me, I'm kosher. The middle of the world in which we live is externality, superficiality, the sense that things look right when they're not right. The willingness to accept something as kosher because it looks kosher rather than investigating whether it is kosher, those sorts of things are kind of a normal way of understanding the attributes of Edo. Now, moving on, I want to look at there's some very interesting material in the Kli Yochor, Posuk Aleph and Posuk Dalud in this section, and he discusses the possibility, he's aware that there are those who say that the purpose of the kashrus laws are health. In fact, he says, Shekosfu rabim and amaforshim in Yisrael macholos. Many people write about the reason of the prohibited foods. Sheshekosfu shehem abrias hagufos varufuosoi. There are those who understand them to mean they are about health of the body and its healing, meaning giving yourself foods that are healthy and wholesome. These foods create bad moistures. This was a certain way of looking at foods and various medical complaints, which seems to us somewhat outmoded, but was popular in earlier times. It's interesting. He says the Kiyoka says he believes that the Ramban is also inclined to that position. The Eino Kein. And it's not correct. And he quotes the same problem against this view, as I mentioned in the name of the Abarbanel, who is earlier than the Kli Yochor. Eino Kein Shahari Kol Umos Ochli Bosor Hasheketz VaAchbar, because all of the nations, they eat the flesh of the Shkotsim and insects and spiders and all kinds of weasels and whatever they eat. It would appear that if you look around the world, there are people who eat practically anything. And all kinds of tomei foods. B'chulam, seikim, b'afburim, many of them perfectly strong, many of them very healthy. Ein kosher behem, doesn't seem to do them any harm. V'chleim lo choli v'lo margish, and those who eat them seem to have no ill health and no symptoms of any sort. And that is an absolutely standard, often repeated kasha against the Rambam and others who attribute a very physical explanation. Elo vadai shekol elo eina kavona behem. Ki'im el refuas hanashomo. It is certain, therefore, and he feels that question sees off the view that it is only for health reasons, that it is for refuas hanashomo. As I said, it's that perhaps we wouldn't go as far as saying that the Rambam believes only in a physical explanation, but people like the Kli Yochor, who take a more mystical, more Kabbalistic perspective, might say it's not even for that. The machlokes between the Rambam and the others, we would say, is not about whether it has a spiritual value. They agree it has a spiritual value. It's a question whether there is any physical benefit, which the Rambam clearly says there is, and the Abarbanel and the Kli Yochor and others say clearly it does not have any physical benefit at all, and so on. In fact, I mean, it depends what sort of diet. If you have a good, you know, solid East European Ashkenazi diet, it may exactly the opposite. Right. Now, so, Kihaim, and he gives an explanation which you would expect. It's quite common. We are used to living in a world where these explanations have become quite normative. And that you look at each animal, consider its traits, understand that Shkotzim are, as he said, are there some things that some of these things are repellent to a holy soul. In fact, you may recall there's a mission in Makkos which talks about this, about the reward that's available for mitzvahs, that even when it comes to things that people naturally are repulsed by, you know, if there's so many surim associated with something that no one would want to eat anyway, alachas kamva kama, or things like Ganeva where people have a taiva to actually do them. So there's already an inbuilt sense in Chazal that certain things normal human beings find repellent. He said that repulsion is not just training or just a sense of normality. We eat certain foods and we tend to think of other sorts of foods as unpleasant. He said there is a sensitivity to these things, and spiritually sensitive people don't like these things. They create, as he calls, atimas haseichel utechunas haachzorius. That's a very important phrase. According to Kli Yochar, when one eats certain foods, they create atimus haseichel, blockage of the seichel. We are more familiar with the phrase timtum halev, but it's pretty much the same thing. It means, I would describe it as a kind of spiritual cholesterol, meaning that it blocks things up, it stops things from working properly. The same in the physical realm. There's a spiritual realm that the thought processes, the capability, the channels for tefillah, for sensitivity to other people, for the capability and enthusiasm for Dikduk HaMitzvahs, all the things that characterise a successful Jewish life, these foods block that process. As he calls it, and he calls it, and it also creates Tchunas HaZorios. It's more than just preventative. He has two aspects. One is negative. It stops things up. That is Atimas HaSeichel. And then, it's not only that, it creates negative traits, to chunus hachzorios, cruel, unpleasant character traits. And he quotes the Balak Kedar, and he also quotes the Trumas Hadeshin in his Pirush on Rashi, who also say the same things again. So he's identifying this issue as a machlokes rishonim. But these things are very familiar, and it's just important to see where they come from. And then he goes on in quite a long piece to explain how that is seen out by the Loshin, how determined from the Loshin of Psukim, and so on. And he also then quotes the midrash that we saw about the doctor who is visiting two patients, and for the patient who has some chance for the future, which we identify in the Nimshal as spiritual life of the future, then the diet is prescribed carefully to ensure the person both promotes his well-being and doesn't do things which impede the well-being and so on. And he says, it is only valuable for those for whom this outcome is actually feasible. And that's what the Midrash is talking about. He brings that as his primary proof that this approach, that failure to observe kashrus, eating a non-kosher foods, causes atimas haseichel and tchunas haachzorios, is in fact the way Chazal have understood, and his goal is to reject the very physical explanation. Now this might seem straightforward, but it's important to see where it comes from, and also to recognise that it was not in the time of Rishonim by any way agreed that it was primarily the spiritual function that kashrus served. Now, a couple of psukim later, the Kli Yochar begins to examine the four animals, and he quotes in that context the four Golios. That's the second midrash that I cited, that you have that each of the four animals, the Gomolis, Bovel, etc. And he does what we would expect him to do with it, as I said before, having just told you that's what Kashrus is about. He said, if one eats those animals, one ingests their nature. He said, that's what we're talking about. And therefore, what the Chazal are telling us is that these animals exemplify negative traits, just as their, if you like, analogous golus does. And just as experiencing the golus challenges his innate trait, so too, eating those foods at a smaller level ingests bad traits, the traits of those animals, which are each in one of associated, each associated says, have you rhyme and I'm a horse, called Dalad Malchus, Ella Ochlam in Dalad Minim, and he brings this midrash and he explains that one is ingesting their traits, and as you've heard, Toichom Ra, Umar, and their very negative way of looking at the world, and as it were, in many ways, just as the Golus, what it's saying is that the Golus represents the antithesis of the Jewish people. They try to destroy us. In the same way, these foods at a small level damage our spiritual capabilities, and in fact have the same impact. And that is very much seeing the two different strands that exist in the Mephoshim about what to do about kosher, what it's actually for, in the absence of a very explicit statement in the Torah itself. And the remaining few minutes, I want to look again from a different perspective about the four animals with the simonim. Let me read you the section. Ach es zeh lo soichlu. However, despite the fact you can eat animals that chew the cud and have a split hoof, you can't eat these. Mimali agirim farsi epos es agomol. You can't eat the camel, ki malagerohu ufarsa enen umafris tomehu lochem. The camel, because it chews the cud, but it does not have a split hoof. It's tome. There's a shofon. There are different ways of translating it. Kimala gerohu farsola yafris. Again, it chews the cud, but it doesn't split the hoof. Tome hulochem. There's a neves, rabbit hair. Kimale malas gerohu. Again, it chews the cud. Ufarsola hifris, hifriso, and it does not split the hoof. Tome hulochem. And then finally, in a separate posuk, there's a chazir ki mafis parso hu, and the pig, because it has a split hoof, v'shusashe parso, v'hu geiro lo yigar tomehu, it splits its hoof, but it does not bring up its cud, it's not a ruminant, tomehu lochem. So, we can't have a shir without at least mentioning the Ishbitzer. So the Ishbitzer notes something which I'm sure that you've noted when you've read this posuk. There is a very strange grammatical anomaly in the text. What happens? Gomol hu parso enu mafris. What's with the shofon? Lo yafris. That's future tense. U parso lo hifriso. With the rabbit. One is in the present tense. One is in the past tense. And one is in the future tense. I'm sure when you looked at this text, you noticed this, right? But the question is, what's that about? It would expect it to all be in the present tense. You can't eat this because it is this. It does this, but it doesn't have that. Why is it that one's in the present, one's in the future, and one's in the past? So, as we would expect, the Ishbitzer will adopt a conceptual, spiritual understanding of kashrus. It's most unlikely. None of the later commentaries are very enamoured of the health kind of approach of the Rambam. So he says, he notices this, so in the present tense, it's in the past. For Inyan Bazaar, so he says that if you look into this closely, you can get more out of the particular attributes that these animals represent by understanding the way in which the Torah phrases them. How so? See, Inyan Bazaar, ki gomol mor al mahira. So first of all, gomol. And he goes through this famous chazal about the gomel, the gimel, it runs, mahadeh aping, is off a dalad, it's running after the dalad, which means the gomel is mehirus, it represents doing things quickly. Why? Shekein, the Gomorrah says, Shekein derech gomele chasodim lirdoif achadalim. That's the gimel in the Gomorrah in Shabbos, running after the dalad, because gomele chasodim, those who are doing kindness, the gimels, run after the people in need of assistance, who are the Dalads. That's the Gimel and the Dalads. So he says, in the kind of thinking of Chazal, Gomol means Mehirus, doing things quickly. So he says, but when sometimes it's appropriate, for example, running after people who are in need to help them. He said, but when it's inappropriate, that attribute of just rushing into things, a certain impulsiveness, it's something that people don't like. People who are very very fast to do everything. It's a bad attribute. And therefore it's written, as he said, in the present tense. Because it's evident while the person's doing something, they're doing it too quickly. They're not doing it with consideration. If you act impulsively, it's obvious when you're acting that things are not working out. That's his suggestion, is why there's an aspect of gomal which you can detect in the present, hence the appearance of this posuk in the present tense. And he elaborates and so on. What's shofon? Shofon is who are nearer livnei odom lishav adas va'anova. This is someone who, and he tries to explain why this might work in terms of the language, but let's just take it that he's using this as a symbol. What is a shofon? He's someone who looks like he's very calm and very humble. Achloi bezois boch Hashem isborach. This is not what God wants. What is this about? And he goes into a lengthy digression, and he talks about people who give the impression that they're very humble, that they're very nice. He said, and so when you meet them, it all looks like things are good. Oh, the most impressive. But then you realise it's all show. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu's not into that. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants people who are genuinely humble, not who know that if you give the impression of being humble, then things will work out well for you. So his suggestion is that Shofen represents those people who it appears at the time when you meet them that everything's Beseder. But afterwards, you realise from something that didn't seem to quite work, or information that comes to light afterwards, you recognise later on, which means it's something that is only evident afterwards. Right? And therefore, it's yafris, it's in the future. That middah becomes evident only afterwards. V'har neves, what's the last one, the arneves? Last ponim, sh'af sh'rosha eina v'shoshe shum chayim klal, mikhochom yivtza sh'yipol kurut soynoi, zeh chutz v'klap ishmael. Now this one, I think he sort of struggles, say that there's already got a bad reputation. It means it's someone who is already evident from the past, that no matter how they behave now, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, superficial, genuine, what's been going on in the past, already they have a reputation, and that makes it that someone who has a reputation of being of functioning in a negative way, that's also bad. So he says that the reason they're written this way, and he tries to kvetch, it's a bit of a kvetch, how is a shofon refers to someone in the future, and he's someone who's mishapeh himself, someone who gives the impression that things are good. Araneves, I couldn't quite work out where's Araneves, where he actually managed to get that from. How you managed to get Araneves into the past. But it's a valiant attempt to deal with a difficulty in the posuk that I haven't really seen attended to elsewhere. It really does require. The answer is extremely interesting, and it is true that we identify negativity in people in one of these three ways. There are people you can see when they're doing it; it's not working. There can see by reputation that you know it's not going to work, and you can tell only afterwards. Right? It is true that we identify those sorts of people, and as a limud, it's very interesting, and he's suggesting that at a deeper level, these sorts of foods represent those type of categories, and of course, for someone to be squeaky clean, they need to have a good reputation, act with deliberation and caution now, and in a genuine way, such that later on, it's evident that it was genuine at the time. All of those are requirements for good behaviour. Whether it really is what the Pesukim are trying to teach you is maybe open to debate. What is perhaps not open to debate is that there is a difficulty in these Pesukim, which is very interesting. And that would be a good challenge. It might be a good challenge for the Shabbos to try to come up with some kind of more straightforward explanation as to why it is that the Gomol is written in the present, the Shofon in the future, and the Arneves in the past. Be as it may, it is evident that while there is a Machlokes, so we're quite at this, you know, I remember giving a share years ago, and it seems to be quite posh. It's called "You Are What You Eat," a sense that the dinim of kashrus regulate how we are spiritually. That just as the food has calories, nutrition, and various other things that we need for our physical well-being, it also has certain attributes, a spiritual aura about it, which is ingested when you eat the food. And good foods, placid vegetable foods, and so on, engender good attributes in us, such that we are capable of fulfilling our spiritual responsibilities, and you know, neither impeding our spiritual journey, failing to impede our spiritual journey and also promoting it. And there are other foods which, as the Kliyoka says, produce atimus asechel and tchunus atzorius, block up the spiritual process and in addition promote negative or cruel traits. What is interesting to discover is that that was never a universal understanding, perhaps until, I don't know, maybe the 16th century, although the Abarbanel and other Rishonim do indeed disagree with the Rambam. But we see that certainly in modern Jewish thinking, the non-Rambam approach has become much more normal. We can understand why. It's easier to understand. It makes things much more normal. And the question, which has existed from the time of the Rishonim, well, that's very nice, but there are plenty of people who eat this diet who seem to be perfectly healthy, seems as strong now as it did in the time of the Abarbanel and the Kliyokor. And we've seen also that later thinkers adopt that as a normal model, and when addressing other new difficulties or problems they notice in the Pesukim, would immediately assume that it's all about bad character traits and that the entire structure of the Nimah are tied to promote positive spiritual health and improved spiritual understanding and relationships with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Have a good day. Yeah.